I recognize I am seeking to join a body that has perhaps 7% approval rating. So it's voluntarily joining a very unpopular group of people. But I feel very strongly about representing this district because I was born and raised in Champaign-Urbana and think that I can uniquely balance the conservative principles necessary to hold the seat, but also some of the other diverse interests that are important within the district.
Who are your mentors, people who have really gotten you to this point?
I've been really fortunate to have a variety of people who've played meaningful mentorship roles in my life. First and foremost would be my parents. They are people whose advice I seek on a variety of life issues. And they are people who I would be relying upon to make sure that if I go to Washington, D.C., that I retain the same value system that I had prior to going there. Another person who's been a meaningful mentor to me is the late Chuck Colson. He was the founder of Prison Fellowship, which is the world's largest outreach to inmates and their families. And he's really the person who put these issues of reforming the criminal justice system, going into prison and trying to deliver a message of hope. He's the person who really was the catalyst for this nationally. And having the opportunity to serve on the board of directors with him for several years played a very big role in my life.
What did he teach you? What did he tell you?
One of the most important things that he taught is that it's okay for a conservative to be pursuing those sort of criminal justice reform measures.
I mean, is there this idea that it's not?
Yes. There very much is this notion that criminal justice reform is something that only belongs in the purview of Democrats and liberals. And I see it as an issue where conservatives and Republicans can be working as well, because we're talking about good stewardship of tax dollars. If we're going to spend this kind of money for our correction system, why would and we want better outcomes. But it's also a human issue. It's a social justice issue. And there's this new movement called Right on Crime, and it's encouraging conservatives to really embrace these sorts of reform measures, because oftentimes it is viewed as something that a conservative would not support. And I think it's really important that we view this as a bipartisan issue.
What do you hope to achieve during your first term in Congress?
I would hope that we would be voting on a budget that started to reduce spending in a meaningful way. I also would hope that there would be some criminal justice reform measures that Congress could be addressing, specifically looking at addressing some of the mandatory minimums for nonviolent offenders. I think that that's a way in which we could actually do concrete things to strengthen communities and families. I think that when we're looking at people who commit relatively minor offenses.
What's a minor offense?
I think some of our drug laws. I would not want to see automatic incarceration for people who have a drug offense if there are ways that we can rehabilitate that person. For example, if we're talking about a mother with three children and a drug offense, I would want to see, is there some way that we can preserve that family, deal with that, the drug issue? Because I think that's a serious problem. I'm not talking about legalization. What I'm talking about is not using incarceration as the only way we address something. Because if we're talking about incarceration, then we're looking at putting young people in a foster care system. And my mother has supervised foster care programs in this area, and I've seen firsthand the toll that it takes on young people. So that's a specific thing that I think if we could address differently, then we might be able to have better outcomes.
As it relates to addressing our $16 trillion national debt, what specific examples of federal spending or tax provisions would you support?
The most important thing I would focus on is looking at the mandatory spending program. So when we're looking at a budget, there's both mandatory spending and discretionary spending. And right now, all the focus is on discretionary spending, which requires the kind of cuts that you're talking about, specific programs. But the problem is that two-thirds of the budget is driven by the mandatory spending, Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare. And right now, if we don't address those programs, they're not going to be fiscally sustainable. So that's actually where I would want to see our reform efforts focused first. Obviously, there are waste and abuse issues that can be addressed with every program. And I think that the agency heads, they should be responsible for trying to figure out where waste can be trimmed. But I think right now we're not even having the right discussion because we're focusing just on discretionary as opposed to mandatory.
Okay, so where do we start with the mandatory?
I think with mandatory, the first issue we should be addressing is Social Security, trying to figure out what we can do to make sure come 2033, we're able to still be paying out the benefits that people have paid into the system. if we don't do anything at all, we're looking at an absolute reduction in benefits. And for people who have paid into the system, that is something that's a scary prospect because so many people are counting on it for retirement. If you're 33, there's no reason on earth why raising that age does not make sense. If we're talking about people who are close to retirement, we should not raise the age because that's a very regressive thing to do. Those are the kind of things that start to bring down the deficit and the debt in a meaningful way. And we're not talking about it because it's politically unpopular to even talk about those programs. But if we're not talking about that, the large driver of our debt and our deficit, then we're not even talking about the right things.
Related to healthcare, you know, now that the Affordable Care Act is in place, what other changes would you like to see happen with healthcare in this country? It doesn't seem like the Affordable Care Act is going away.
One of the main things that I would like to see with our healthcare system, and this comes from talking to college students throughout the district, I would like to see more choices for younger people who may not have the same kind of healthcare needs as people who are older. For example, I would like to see greater menus of options of catastrophic health insurance policies. Because in talking to young people, the plans that are currently being offered are not plans that they feel necessarily are commensurate with their needs. And so I talk to a lot of young people who plan to opt out of the Affordable Care Act's mandates. They're simply not going to get a program.
And pay the fine.
Right, and pay the fine because they view it as being a relatively small amount. And right now there isn't a strong enforcement mechanism for the government to actually focus on those who aren't paying the fine. We want people to get insurance, and so we need to offer plans that are really attractive to young people. A catastrophic health insurance plan could be the ideal plan for a college student or a young person who is relatively healthy, does not really have a lot of means to pay premiums that are increasing, but needs to make sure that in the case of some sort of catastrophic incident, they're not open to a financially ruinous situation.
All right. Well, if you do get elected, you could be making history as being the first African-American woman in Congress who is a Republican. Is that something you're thinking about? And really, how big of a deal is that to you?
When you have the opportunity to make history in that way, it's an incredible responsibility because you are representing a group of people who have never had a tangible voice in Congress. And if I was elected, I would be the first African-American woman to serve in Congress as a Republican. And that would be a demonstration of incredible progress in our country. And there would be a whole segment of the population who now looked at Congress as being more reflective of their voice and something that they might consider aspiring to in the future. My campaign is focused on the issues that matter most to this district, but I certainly am aware of the fact that it would be making history, and it's a kind of history that I would feel really honored to make.